Hello, and welcome to the first episode of This Podcast Needs a Name. Yeah, very uncreative. We'll come up with it as we go. In this podcast, my co-host Jazzy Lafita and I look at TV shows and review them. So this is going to be redundant, but I'm Johnny Thames, and...
I'm Jazzy Lafita. I'm going to be Johnny's co-host. I'm really excited to be here, and I think that this is going to be a great podcast.
Yep. So, what did we watch?
We watched the show Disenchanted. It is it is an adult animated TV show done by Matt Groening, who did The Simpsons and Futurama.
The show is available on Netflix. There are 3 seasons, and we will be looking at season 1.
Yep.
So one thing I thought of that was interesting is that this show distinguishes itself a lot from Futurama. Like, when it started out, I thought this was just going to be a Futurama ripoff, but no, it wasn't.
Yeah, I genuinely, I went in and I was like, oh, I want to watch something just fun. I want, Futurama, but in a fantasy world. Then it got really dark and, really, it actually felt like there was, substance to the show, and, they were actually had, a method, which, I really didn't expect from Matt Groening.
I know, because he's known for, we have bit roles as satire, we satirize various things in commentary, but starting with the 3rd episode, the show started a very dark build-up, which led to an enormous twist I wasn't expecting. Just a quick update, this will include spoilers, so just be warned. The queen tried to murder the king, who started out as a medieval Trump, but through the series, actually the writers made us care about him and his goal to bring back the queen, and it's like, nope! She tried to kill him.
I really hated Zod at first. I thought that he was a terrible ruler, and I did also think that he was a medieval Trump, but then time went on and I was like, oh my god, this guy, he has human emotions. He's he felt a very developed character, which, once again, a developed character is very strange to see inside of the show done by the same guy in Futurama.
I feel like that's kind of the reason why, though, because this is kind of his first time actually developing a character like this.
Yeah.
Because when The Simpsons did it for Homer, it was all Conan O'Brien. So to see Matt Groening develop King Zod into this, very complex, emotional character that you actually care about, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I personally thought that, I think that for me, when it really sunk in that, that this show was not, Futurama and The Simpsons, I kind of knew it already, but then when it really hit was, a major spoiler for season 1, but when Alpha was killed.
Yeah. For me, it was when the demons were released, because I thought that was going to be a bigger part of the story, but it wasn't. You know, in episode 3, when the demons get released.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be big, but then it's kind of like Cobra Kai in a sense, where they ignore the build for a couple of episodes, but in episode 6... With the play, that had some dark undertones to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I would say that the show was you could kind of sense that it was going darker and going a lot more in depth, and it just kind of got more and more as the season went on, and it kind of I genuinely started to feel for these characters, and I genuinely was oh my god, I want them to make it out. I like them so much. And it wasn't just oh, they're cool, I don't want them to die. This was a genuine, these are developed characters. They felt almost real people, even though it was a fantasy world.
Right. And speaking of that, when I first saw the first episode, I was like, the dynamic of Princess Tia Beanie, known as Bean, Elfo, and the demon Lucy worked incredibly well, because usually in a dynamic like this, either Bean or Elfo would probably overpower it, to where the other characters would not get a time to shine.
Yeah, I thought that the way that they, like, did the friendship between Bean, Elfo, and Lucy was really interesting, and it was kind of, like, almost complex in a way that, like, you got to, like, see each character, and each character was, like, very different from one another, but they were all still almost, like, equally, like, Bean is the main character, but they were all still, like, equally, almost, like, they all felt equally important, and they all felt, like, and it felt like something that was a bit more almost plausible as a relationship, even though it's between a girl, an elf, and a demon.
Right, that's the nature of an ensemble piece and which makes them so great, because that's what Disenchantment or Disenchanted is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that, like, their whole thing, it did mirror, like, at first I thought, like back to, like, the Futurama thing, I thought that it was just going to be, like, another Futurama where, like, Lucy was Bender, and I thought that Leela would be Bean or Fry, and then Alpha would be Bean or Fry, or, and Alpha would be Lee. Sorry, can I re-say that?
Yeah.
Pardon about that, but I thought that, like, Lucy would be Bender, Alpha would be Fry, and then Bean would be Leela, and I just thought that they were repeating that, but then they actually went, like, into their friendship, and they gave it, like, layers, they gave a tragedy, like, inside of the form of Alpha's death, and I thought that was extremely sad to see, like, everyone's reaction to it.
Exactly, like, I was not expecting Alpha to die. I'm like, they make us care so much about these characters that you wouldn't expect something like that. To put it one way, you kind of expect it to be, like, all Disney happy, like, hooray! Everyone will live!
Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like it started out where I was almost, like, laughing about, like, Elfo and Elfwood, and I was like, oh, this is so funny. Elfo is such a funny character. And then before I knew it, I was like, oh my god, Elfo is actually, like, almost, like, a deep character. I really care about him, and I really hope that, like, things turn out well for him.
Right. That's what they make you do. I worded that wrong, but anyway, now to switch gears again, we need to talk about the usage of gags throughout the show, because this show had some pretty funny gags. Like, the very first gag, like, you know, where the king is like, if anyone gets a look at her, I'll chop your head off. And then the guy's like, I got a great look at her.
Complex, but it was still very effective, and it still felt very clever at a lot of the points.
Like, Matt Groening has distinguished himself as the modern master of gags and irony, and oh my god, did this show have a ton of ironic gags. Like, you know when he visits the humble folk, and they're like, we are too humble to take a compliment.
And then they end up complimenting them more, and then they compliment them too much to the point that the humble folk end up kicking out Bean or Alpha.
It was Alpha.
Yeah, and they end up kicking out Alpha, and I just found that so funny because, like, it's such, like, it's so clever, I felt like, and, like, I had never seen a show that, like, had, like, humor like that. Like, even though it did feel very simple and it felt like something, it was really funny.
Yeah, the irony in that gag is that a humble person would take a compliment. Like, the humble people here are portrayed as arrogant. Like, no, we will not take a compliment. It's like Ed Gold's version of Weeble, where he's like, everyone wants him to sing his Weeble songs, but he's like, no, I'm a serious actor now. I'm going to read Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. Oh my god, another one of the interesting gags was probably, like, the whole thing of being driving drunk during the series, and just, like, all of the things relating to, like, drinking, and like, when they did the hallucinogenic, I thought that was really funny.
I know, they made an addict funny.
Yeah, and since this is a school podcast, don't do drugs, it's bad.
She's right.
Don't do drugs. It isn't funny to get drunk, but for the purposes of the fact that this is an adult animated show with lots of dark humor, Bean's character was very funny, and the way that they portrayed her alcoholism was quite funny, even if it wasn't the reality of what it would have been.
Right. And, were you going to say something?
No, you can go.
On the topic of that, I feel like we should say something about the overarching theme, because this is a really important theme, because Bean's whole motivation is she just wants to be validated. She doesn't know who she is throughout the series.
Yeah, like, I mean, I thought that that was really interesting. Like, I mean, she really felt like she had, like, depth of a as a character, because there's that one episode where they end up going to, the Queen Una, her homeland, and then Bean ends up serving as the ambassador, because she wants to be a part of something, she wants to do that, and it's actually Lucy who ends up getting her very, very drunk to the point that she can't give a speech.
Right.
And, like, if it hadn't been for him, then she would have genuinely done good, and she, like, you can kind of see, like, how much she wants to be a part of things and, like, make things better, but she's just, like, having trouble finding herself, I guess.
Right. That's kind of what happens when you have validation issues. You keep trying to find something, but nothing ever works.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, I think that, like, her character was, like, her character definitely, out of all of them, like, I feel like her story arc was very sad, because throughout the entire series, she just wants validation, and that kind of ties into the whole thing with her mom, and, like, this is another big spoiler, but when her mom turned out to be evil, because, like, I mean, she ended up wanting, like, her mom there because she knew that her mom would, like, care about her.
Right.
And, like, what her dad had never done, and then in the end, her mom turns out to be evil, and it's so heartbreaking.
And what's even worse is she's none the wiser the entire time.
Yeah.
It's just,
like, I mean, I just felt so bad for her throughout all of that, because, like, we as an audience knew that, like, her mom was bad and that Bean was being led down the wrong path, but she didn't, and, like, you kind of just could see, like, that, like, whenever she did find out, like, I just kind of knew that it would crush her, and, like, she hasn't found out yet, but, I mean, I just know that it would be really sad.
Right, her mom is turning people into human gargoyles, basically. And
yeah, that last scene with the statues where she turned everyone into a statue, that was very, I want to say, jarring almost, just because, like, I didn't expect something like that to happen.
And to realize if they didn't go after the Elixir of Life and the king didn't have this drive due to what Bean did when she was younger, a war probably would have been avoided.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, and I feel like a lot of that does tie into just, like, the depth of the show and how much, like, the whole scene where, like, Bean has only one drop of Elf's blood for the Elixir of Life, and she has to choose between Elfo, her best friend, and her mom. That scene is just so sad because, like, as much as, like, I mean, I personally really wanted Elfo to come back, but I just knew that she was going to choose her mom because that's what she's wanted her entire life. She's wanted her mom there.
And it would probably just bring her family back together, even though...
Yeah.
That was a bad choice in the end.
Yeah, it did prove to be a bad choice when her mom turned out to be pretty crazy, but, I mean, it just... Well, like, you could see her motivations, and you could see how, like, she was doing what she thought was right for, like, her entire family, it seemed. Like, she wanted to help her dad, and she wanted to have the mother who left her when she was so young.
Right. It's honestly heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And while we're on the topic of, like, war, gargoyles... This show has done what only few shows could do, and it showed off how bad the medieval times actually were. I've only seen a few things that have been able to do it, and it is Don Quixote by Miguel de Cervantes, Robin Hood,
yeah.
History of the World Part 1, the Mel Brooks version, Robin Hood Men in Tights, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and a few other things.
Yeah, I think that this show, like, almost, like, all of those did it very well. I haven't read Don Quixote, but, I mean, I have heard about that. But I feel like Disenchantment did it in such a way that it was, like, that it was really funny. Like, I mean, because most of the time, like, when you think of, like, the medieval times, like, you think of, like, all of, like, the good portions of it.
You think of the quest for the Holy Grail. Like,
the fantastical portions of it. Like, just, like, all of, like, the knights in shining armor, the jousting, the kings and queens.
The quest.
Terrible times. I mean, there was, like, that was when the Black Death was going on. People were dying of diseases. Infant mortality was extremely high. And cities were possibly the worst place to be because they just had no sanitation whatsoever.
Exactly.
Like, they really almost, like, make fun of that during Disenchantment by pointing out all of these terrible things and almost by saying, like, hey, if you've got, like, I mean, I feel like almost everyone's, like, thought about, like, oh, it would be so cool to live in a world with dragons or live in a world, like, Lord of the Rings or something. But, like, then when you think about, like, the times, like, the medieval times, you realize, like, inside of, like, what the castles were, and, like, Disenchantment does a good job of showing this. You realize maybe that's not the best time to be in.
If you and I went to the medieval times without getting vaccinated, we would both be dead within a matter of months. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Another good example of the hellishness of this is when they put on the play and they're like, they show off how unfair it was for the other kingdom. They're like, we made a canal, but it only benefits the kingdom Bean is in, so the kingdom of Dreamland.
Yep, like, I mean, the play, like, I feel like that play really goes to show, and it really, like, inside of, like, a very, like, almost, like, simple and digestible way, it almost shows everything that's wrong with that world and everything that's wrong with even our world, because I feel like a lot of the satire that's inside of this can be applied to our world.
It honestly can. Like, when I thought of this, I kind of thought about the American Revolution and how unfair it was for the people fighting for the Patriots.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but wow, yeah, that is very true.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of unfair things, why, out of all things, is voice actor Maurice LaMarche voicing an African American? Why?
Yeah. I mean, I personally thought that Disenchanted did a good job of a lot of things, but this was most definitely not one of them. And just for reference, Maurice LaMarche is a white actor, and he is voicing the African American character of Oddball. And I just thought that this wasn't a good decision, especially, I mean, even when this show was made, but especially, like, nowadays, in light of, like, everything that's been going on, I feel like it's really important for, like, even in voice acting, for African American people to voice African American characters. And I just thought that on the casting part, this really wasn't a good decision.
It was, like, terrible.
Just to put it simply. Yeah, it was a terrible decision.
It's like,
and I mean, other than that, I would say that the casting was very good, but I feel like that glaring mistake almost diminishes the value of the show, even though it was a very well done show, but that just seems like it's just so prevalent once you think about it, almost.
If Maurice LaMarche got cast today, the show probably would have either been on hold or canceled indefinitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I don't doubt that within, probably by the time, because I do believe that the show has been renewed past season 3, or at least I hope it has.
But yeah, they've got 10 more episodes.
Huh?
They've been renewed for 20 episodes, and they've released 10 of them already.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like in the future, they will have to change the actor or have the show canceled at a certain point, because people will start moving us up. That lots of people, I don't think, know that, like, Maurice LaMarche is white, or, like, they might not realize that he's a white actor voicing a black character. But once they do realize, I do think that people will start speaking out about it and, like, mentioning how this is changed. And I do believe that Matt Groening didn't really have anything poor, didn't have any malicious intentions. He just really messed up here. But I do think that he will change that once people begin to realize and kind of raise a bit of an outcry about it.
To kind of dumb it down, I feel like he just wanted an Orson Welles impersonator. And I'm like, why not find an African-American Orson Welles impersonator? Yes, Marissa Marsh did it as the brain for Animaniacs, but there are other impersonators you could find.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I think the same thing. And I think it could have also been, like, a combination of almost, like, nostalgia, because I know that Maurice LaMarche has voiced characters inside of Matt Groening's other shows before, but I feel like they could have, if they really wanted him on the show, then they could have found another role for him.
They honestly could have, because, unless I'm wrong, he voices 3 different characters in Futurama, or does he voice more?
I believe it's at least 3, but, give me a second. I mean, all of those actors in Futurama voice, like, a bunch of people.
I know, and I think some of them actually came on to voice similar characters to the ones they had in Futurama for Disenchantment, which I just find a little funny, but it's great, but it's also kind of lazy.
I don't know. I think that it was nice that, or it's cool that, like, they were able to bring back characters, because, like, I just think that it was really interesting to see that, because I really do like a lot of those actors. Like, I didn't quite realize for a while, but they have Billy West on Disenchantment, which I think is super cool.
I know,
like,
I love it.
Almost all of the voices on Futurama, like all of the major male characters, were played by him.
And John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio, yes, they had Bender.
I don't have an issue.
The King Zod on this, and I think that King Zod has made a few small references to Defender's character, which I think have been really cool, because there have been it's not many, but like if you're looking then you can kind of spot them, but like references to Futurama in there, and like I think I haven't seen any for The Simpsons or other Matt Groening shows, but I think that it's really cool to see just those little things on the left that, like, if you're looking, then you would be able to find them, almost.
Right. And to kind of clear things up, I don't mind when previous voice actors were used in different shows. I just kind of have a problem with when they're playing similar roles to the ones they've played in the past instead of showing off some other versatility they have under their belt.
Yeah, that does make sense. I do think that like a lot of the characters did voice, a lot of the actors did voice similar characters, and I do think it would have been cool to see them like as more than just like what they were inside those shows. But I do still think that like part of it, like I feel like a lot of what the show did was like some of their casting decisions and some of just their decisions for the show were supposed to be almost nostalgic and like remind fans of Futurama like up. Have them be like, oh my god, I remember that from Futurama, or draw more people in. And I mean, I do think that, I do wish that, like, they could have shown people in more versatile roles, but I still think the casting decisions overall weren't bad, other than, of course, the glaring casting of Maurice LaMarche.
Yeah. On the nostalgia factor, the wizard, I keep forgetting his name, is basically the professor, but he's a smaller character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the wizard is practically the perfect. I mean, I found this character absolutely hilarious. Like, whenever she would talk about using scientific methods and then mention an exorcism, I thought that was so funny. And I feel like that also ties into just the whole medieval times being pretty terrible idea. It's like the way that they poke fun of, like, the crazy beliefs that people used to have.
Right. It was so crazy.
Bean literally gets exorcised in one of the episodes, and like, and the wizard, I think his name is Sorcerio, he pretty much sets her on fire, and it's a pretty dark scene when you think about it, but you can really see how like Matt Groening is like almost like satirizing like medieval times, and also like just like those views of like just like those views of like the people back then, and like they're kind of crazy, like forms of medicine and science that weren't even medicine or science.
Right. I just found it funny when he brought up the stone and it was literally just a magnet. I just found it incredibly ironic that he said, "This magical stone will get rid of the demon," and then boom, a bunch of metal gets attracted to it.
Yeah.
Do you think we've gone through all our points, or do you have other things you want to say?
I think we've gone through all of our points. I did notice that you mentioned the usage of dated stereotypes somewhere, and if you want to address that.
Oh, yeah. There were these characters that were played from, like, Louisiana, New Orleans, and they were all portrayed as hillbillies, and I'm like, that's kind of a dated stereotype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I do think that, like, they did have some dated stereotypes inside of the show, like those, like the hillbillies and stuff, but I mean, I don't think that it was that bad, I suppose, and especially, like, I feel like even though the show was, only came out, I think it was only probably around, it was only, like, 3 years ago, I do yeah. still think that times have changed a lot since those 3 years, and that, like, we have had, like, as a culture become a lot more aware of, like, other cultures and just, like, being a lot more sensitive about those things. So I do think that, like, that thing is almost, even though it was literally only 3 years ago, that is just something that, like, it's just a product of its time, I would say.
Right. So if that's it, that's the end of the first episode of this podcast. We will come up with a name sometime after we're done recording, but for now, have a great day.
Have a great day, guys. I hope you enjoyed. See you next time.
See ya!